Let's pause for a moment as you just heard the news here. Very sad news out of Kabul. It's up to 12 service members killed, 15 wounded. That is confirmed by the Pentagon due to those blasts outside the Kabul airport. I want to introduce you to John Shattuck. He's a local businessman here in Chicago who now lives in Arizona, who's part of an ex-military humanitarian effort. You've been working very hard, John, and you and I have been in communication all week to try to get some of the U.S. citizens and also Afghan allies out of the Kabul area. It was difficult enough before. What do you make of this news now? I know you've been in contact with people on the ground, and it's no doubt a difficult day for you.
Yeah, sure, Anna. This morning, although dramatic, it was not necessarily unexpected, as you know, as we were communicating yesterday. We saw the writing on the wall, and it was just a matter of time. So it's obviously complicated efforts. I just spoke with somebody inside the airfield at the moment. They're going to attempt to resume flights out of the folks that are inside. I have the total number of people that are inside. We don't want to necessarily disclose that. There's a lot of security issues at the moment because we lost 12 of our own. So it's we're asking all those folks that were moving in and out to the airport to shelter in place, obviously, and we're not bringing them towards the airport at the moment because we're waiting for a second wave.
So you're a second wave. You mean another attack? You're telling people to go into hiding until they can maybe, hopefully, find passage, safe passage to the airport again.
Exactly. The issue is at the moment with the security protocols in place, they've welded most of the gates shut as a security measure. So anybody that's standing out there is vulnerable, and there's tens of thousands of people outside the gate at the moment. So we're asking at least the groups that we're working with to shelter in place somewhere beyond that massive folks, and then we can potentially resume what we've been doing for the last couple weeks in bringing the folks out.
And what you've been doing is nothing short of a miracle. My take, 150 people or more, your team here of people have self-funded a group of a lot of ex-military humanitarians. You are apolitical. You are just trying to do the right thing and get Afghan allies out of the country, people who are fully vetted. I know you've been working with Congress, members of Congress on both sides of the aisle. You've been working with all kinds of people at defense and the Pentagon just to try to carry out these missions. I got to say, I know the official word from the Pentagon just moments ago, I'm looking here, they said that the evacuations will continue because we're up against this deadline. It's hard for me to understand how you continue, other than the folks who are inside the airport. How do you continue to get more folks out? Do you think, or maybe you don't have to tell me how, because you probably don't want to, but is that possible you'll still be able to get people out in this environment?
Yeah, there's contingency plans, obviously, for other areas to move them, which we don't want to discuss over the air, but there's always contingency plans in place. They're desperate measures, but ones that we know that we can pull off. Just about an hour ago, I had a Zoom call with several members of the EU Parliament, Afghan Parliament, working to try to come up with a solution other than working strictly with the U.S. base or what's left of it, the airport, which is now the de facto embassy.
Your team is responsible for, as I said, getting a number of people out already, and I know you continue to do that even though it just got tougher. The interpreter, Zach, has made a lot of headlines as one of the folks who's lucky enough to get out, and his family. And I know that you're hoping that you'll get more people like him. Have you been in communication with him at all? Have you heard about any follow-up at this point in time? I mean, many of us became familiar with him as one of the interpreters who successfully made it out.
Sure, I'm in contact with him daily. We talk and text, and we do Zoom calls, and we try to keep their family positive. They're in a safe place in Qatar, in what we call, I won't tell you the camp, but they're in a safe place, and we're trying to follow through on his paperwork, which, as you know, is maddening that after 5 years, he should have been approved and it should have been done. So the administration's take that a lot of these folks, if they knew that there was going to be a problem in the U.S., was soon to depart, they should have left. Well, I'm here to tell you, if it takes 5 years just to do the paperwork, and suddenly, you know, people wanted to take into consideration to leave, they needed to do that 5 years ago or plus. So that's how bad our system of SIV applicants
is. I hear you. And we've heard the stories about people getting turned away by the Taliban, getting beaten with sticks by the Taliban at these checkpoints as they waive their paperwork and they're fully vetted and they're supposed to be allowed safe passage. And it's just not happening. You make an important point there. A lot of people say, oh, so are we just supposed to let thousands of people into the U.S.? That's not exactly what's happening. You're saying they're going to other sites first.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the idea, you know, I live in Arizona, so I'm fully involved with what happens on our border and making sure things are secure. I help to, you know, bring people in and out of the country safe passage, you know, the proper way. SIV applicants and asylum seekers are far different than people just making their way. Most of the people that are SIV applicants in Afghanistan ultimately go to a holding area within other countries. And, you know, but the SIV application was specific to the United States relative to the, you know, the work that they did for U.S. forces. So the idea that these are, you know, people, they're concerned about them coming to the United States, well, that was the agreement we had with them when they were giving their life and you know, spending years of service working with American forces. So
it's an important point.
Perplexing. You know, this is the ultimate example of what immigration should be if it worked properly. These are people that it's if they served time in our military prior to even be considered for a visa to the United States, let alone American citizens. So, you know, wouldn't that be the type of people that we ultimately would like to see in this country? Somebody that is so committed to our cause.
Mm-hmm. That exactly. Well said. The special immigration visas you're talking about are also people carrying them are the people who are most in danger once we leave. Those folks, how do you imagine they will be treated if they are left in the country?
Well, they probably don't have much of a chance to survive this, because if they're left at the demise of people like, you know, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, name one of the groups, they will come after folks. And, you know, this is what happened this morning as well. That wasn't just an attack on U.S. forces this morning. The 12, you know, men that we lost in U.S. forces and the upwards to 60 people that were Afghans this morning, they were attacking the U.S. indirectly because of their help with the U.S. So it's going to be far more difficult. I mean, the pleas that I get, I mean, the pleas that we're getting are from active duty members of the U.S. forces, members of the Afghan parliament. I mean, they're reaching out to us. And I'm talking about not the normal process of the U.S. government. That's a sad testament to where we stand, that they're having to utilize, you know, a group like ourselves, which was thrust into this in, you know, in the matter of the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So this wasn't something that, I mean, we foresee some of this happening, but, you know, in the same regard, we were forced as, you know, former service members to act. And, you know, this is sad. And again, with my conversation with some of these folks in parliament from different countries, their main question was to me was, why did the U.S. allow this to happen? Because it's something that we chose to leave on September 1st, so we could have been prepared for this. And this is the head scratcher amongst everyone. They don't understand. how that we allowed this to happen this way.
And that is Democrats, Republicans, all sides of the aisle. Everybody is sort of asking that question.
This is not a partisan issue. This is not a partisan issue. This is a humanitarian issue. And it makes us look bad as a nation. We're supposed to be the beacon, right? And how do they look? You know, we're looking quite disorganized at the very least at the moment. So,
well, John, I hate to even take you away from what you're doing. I know when I've tried to call you throughout the day, these last few days, you've been on the phones. You have quite an extensive network there that's working to get people out. And I hope that you're continuing to find success even in the most difficult of circumstances. I want to just thank you, too. You and I are part of a special piece that's going to be on News Nation tonight. We will take a look in depth at this issue tonight. And there's more to come because you have pictures of other folks you've been able to get out, including a family of 11. It's just a remarkable story and remarkable what you've been able to do. So thank you, sir. Thank you for what you're doing.
Our duty. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time, Anna.
Appreciate you. John Shattuck there. He's a Chicago businessman originally, former military, lives in Arizona, and he's been working these missions with other ex-military and other folks to try to get people, against all the odds, out of Afghanistan, and he's been extremely successful. I think it weighs heavy on him that he can't get everybody out because it's unbelievable, as you just heard, the pleadings he's getting from so many people, of people who legitimately deserve to get out of that country who cannot find safe passage. Only time will tell what this new development with the airport bombings or the issues, the explosions outside the airport, how that will impact things. Anyway, we've got to pause here for a second. It's 2:46 on WGN. More in a moment.